The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Every morning, a new opportunity to take in the news of the day and the challenges of life and try to make sense of it all. Right now, we've got a show that tackles the topic
and asks what you think.
So get ready to start your day with a bold look at history as it happens. Let's learn, live, sometimes laugh together. It's the Mark Davis Show on 660 AM. The Answer.
And a good Wednesday morning, everybody, on this 16th day of May, 660 AM, The Answer, DFW, and Freedom 1160, San Antonio, along for our first hour ride. Always appreciate you folks in the Alamo City. But no matter where you're listening in Texas or anywhere on the 660 AM, The Answer app, I mean, we have, cab drivers in Indonesia driving around, grabbing dinner listening to the show, and we always appreciate that. And however you join us, we are grateful. All right, there's one big global story. And then, honestly, as we embark today, I have a bunch of things that are scattered all over the place that I want to do. Up here in North Texas, we are going to have three significant new members of Congress. We know who one of them is going to be. The other two, we're going to find out next week. So as the runoffs approach on May 22nd, I want to ask some of y'all about how some races are going. I mean, I know what I think about the various candidates, but I need to feel some little bit of vox populi, don't you know, and see how that goes in District 5 and District 6. I've always been intrigued by here's the in no particular order stuff, and then we'll get to the big story, which is North Korea maybe making noises about pulling out of the June 12th summit. Uh-oh. You know, that wouldn't be great. What were your expectations for that? I told you I had no expectations for it. I don't mean low expectations. I mean none, meaning I don't know what to expect. It could be momentous, or it could be a box of nothing, or anything in between. Is it good, the prospect of such a meeting? Yes. Would it be really unfortunate if that were to all collapse? Yes. Did I wonder if this was possibly going to happen? Yes. You'll recall I said last week that how long will Kim Jong-un ride along with the notion that he's going to unilaterally disarm North Korea in exchange for nothing? Now, it's not going to be nothing. I'm a fan of the bribe here, and I say that only partially tongue-in-cheek. Because North Korea stands to benefit enormously from a business relationship with the United States, from opening itself from the cave of communism that they've it's still going to be a communist country. So is Vietnam, but Vietnam's a huge global trading partner. So there's great benefit to Kim Jong-un for playing ball and trying to be a better guy. You know what he is right now? He's a player on the world stage and a nuclear power. That's hard to give up. You remember we talked about this the last week before, that I'll believe it when I see it, this unilateral disarmament without giving up something. So, and the real spectacle this morning, you ready for this? The spectacle this morning, you could have seen it coming as plain as the sunrise. Trump haters gleeful that the summit may be in jeopardy. Trump haters who hate him more than they care about the country. And this is a vast phenomenon across the media landscape. I don't think it exists much in the general public. Oh, there are people who hate Trump's guts, but the average normal human being would like this summit to happen and would like this summit to succeed. The tiny, bitter, twisted population of people who are thrilled this morning at the possibility of the collapse of the summit are people mostly with TV and print punditry jobs. And they hate Trump so much that anything that is a disadvantage to him is a good day for them. And if that's the way you roll, if that's the way your life goes, that's a mental illness. Now, many of you may be saying, sometimes I hear you in my headphones, hey, Mark, didn't you spend 8 years opposing the Obama agenda? And haven't you given off a vibe that suggests that anything that was against his agenda was a good day for you? Not exactly. The things that happened that reversed or slowed or halted the Obama agenda, it wasn't that it was a good day for me, because you know, I hate Obama's guts. I don't. I don't hate anybody. His agenda was poisonous. He was bad for America. I love my country. And the reason I opposed every shred, virtually, of the Obama agenda is I thought it was bad for America. So as the Trump administration rolls back, defeats, marginalizes, shelves the Obama agenda, I am thrilled. Not because I have some kind of personal animus about him. I don't care about him. In fact, just as a human being, as a Christ follower, as a hopefully decent soul, I wish for him and for his wife and his lovely family all the prosperity that they can garner in the private sector, where they can't screw up my life anymore. I wish them nothing but good things. So enough about that. So I wanted to cover that that possible myth of equivalency there. So that spectacle is in full display this morning, but in no particular order. When's the last time you were on a plane with an animal? Somebody's got their dog, and I'm not even getting to the notion of comfort animals or support animals. And I'm sorry, I need to lose the drippingly derisive tone. Because I know the support animal is a real thing, right? For PTSD and for some folks, I mean, it's like, you know, if, you know, Biff the German Shepherd is along, it just kind of helps the day go more stably. And I understand. I really do. Like many other things, though, it's gone crazy. And American Airlines has had to make some rules about, you know, the support goat, the support peacock. Didn't we have a support hamster? I think this was an urban myth. Was it urban myth story? What really happened where somebody like made some woman flush a support rodent down the aircraft toilet? Anyway, it's like many, many things that can make sense at one very specific level, people take it and run with it and go nuts with it. So we have that. We have panhandling talk. I drive everywhere. Y'all drive everywhere. And you see it everywhere. You pull up to an intersection. I think probably my most frequent one is 35 Stebbins and Oak Lawn. Where I'll be popping over there, grab some lunch on the way to Channel 8 for a Thursday taping, or, you know, something in the neighborhood of the AAC. Or maybe that's just where my most vivid images of panhandling are. And you're sitting there, and you're caught at the stop sign, stoplight, and, you know, there's the guy. Sometimes it's a woman standing there, able-bodied. Walking up and down the cars, sometimes walking out into traffic. Ooh, you know how I love that. Hitting people up for cash, and you find yourself thinking, you seem able-bodied enough to have a job. There are two reasons why that's not happening. If you run across a panhandler just, you know, begging, it is begging, there one of two reasons, maybe both. One, speaking of mental illness, is you got that going on. People go, why don't you just clean up and go get a job? Some people could no more do that than you and I could sprout wings and fly to Mars. Tons of people are homeless by choice. That's their gig. Reason number two is you make more money at the intersection. You know how much you could pull down at an intersection? Was it John Stossel who gave this a try in New York? He made a killing. you know, because we're all gullible as all get out, you know, or, oh man, or empathetic as all get out. I feel it. I feel it. It probably is just about never. I just don't give in. I don't feel bad. I don't. There are things people can do. There is help people can get. It is an affront to motorists. It's dangerous, and it should be absolutely stone cold outlawed. Any type of fundraising, whether it's for, you know, for you to get a burger, for you to get some MD 2020, or for your lovely and noble charity, no fundraising among active moving traffic at intersections, period. I fought this fight my entire life. And I went to a city council committee in Memphis. I guess I had more time on my hands when I lived there in the late 80s. And actually, because we'd had some talk show activism about this, and I got absolutely obliterated. Firefighters, police, you know, my church. I said, hold a bake sale. I'll promote it. I'll pull into a parking lot and give you $50 if you'll stop knocking on the window of my car. So, anyway, why am I bringing that up? Fort Worth has an idea. And here's what's weird, because you often hear about discussing criminalization of actual panhandling. Some cities have made it against the law for you to give. That's kind of interesting. You give somebody $3, you're in trouble. That seems harsh, but so we got that. All right, what else? Catherine Timpf has a great National Review piece. Did you hear about the is it New Jersey, a high school in New Jersey? They said if you want to be on the cheerleading team, you're on. They're going to have a cheerleading team, and if you want to be on it, you're on it. No tryouts. Oh, no, we can't have the emotional rigor of tryouts. And all the cheerleaders who were good enough to be on it now feel that their talent is less valued. And they're completely correct. So so we have that. All right, 718. Let's grab a call or two before we roll to our first pause. 866-660-5759. We're in Dallas. Kurt, Mark Davis, welcome. Oh, hang on a second. Just knocked the whole thing right out. Stand by. Operator error. Hi, Kurt. How are you?
Hey, good morning, Mark.
Morning.
Sounds like your morning's starting kind of like mine.
Seriously, I'm able to talk, but physical functionality is totally awesome. Different.
Hey, real quick, I just wanted you to know, from my perspective as someone who lived in Korea for 3 years, and I was just there in February to see friends and attend the Winter Olympics, I've been watching this unfold, and you know, here in the Dallas community, there's a big Korean and Chinese and Asian community, and I didn't really see a lot of, you know, exuberance. What I heard was a lot of respect for President Trump in these negotiations, but Kim Jong-un cannot be trusted. I mean, he was trained by his father. Let's be real about that. I noticed very carefully in the discussions, he wasn't talking about giving up his entire nuclear program. He's talking about, you know, let's decommission a testing site that's basically already collapsed, those kinds of things. So I kind of saw this coming. I think it's the same song and dance, you know, the game that they played. And I think really I would have loved to have been a fly on the wall with Chinese president and his two meetings recently with Kim Jong-un, although I may not have understood, you know.
Exactly. You had another fly to translate.
Right. Well, I heard that Kim Jong-un speaks some English. I mean, he was educated in Switzerland. Anyway, I'm just not surprised. I don't think any of the Korean Americans I know.
Well, are you pessimistic? But, are you optimistic, pessimistic, or just impossible?
I'm optimistic. Something's going to change. I think China wants to exert its economic and, of course, its strategic power. And perhaps the Chinese president told Kim Jong-un, look, your recent behavior is becoming somewhat or a major impediment. Here's what you need to do.
Right.
But I think just like in the Korean War, we're basically fighting a proxy war with the Chinese. I think we're really negotiating in some ways with the Chinese here. As President Trump, you know, prepares to hopefully meet
with Kim Jong-un. I think that's very wise. In our remaining minute, how'd that Olympics trip work out for you?
Unbelievable. You know, it was very cold, which you would expect at Olympics. I had tickets to the giant slalom. It was 6 degrees and 40-mile-an-hour winds, so it was white out. Missed that, got rescheduled. Did get to go to women's hockey, which was unbelievable. One of the highlights of the whole Olympics. But couldn't get tickets to figure skating or curling.
where you saw American gold.
Right. But I did get to watch the giant slalom the day I returned to Dallas on TV. So
cool.
It wasn't half bad.
Well,
yeah,
thank
so
you.
Proud of not only the Americans, but the Koreans who put on an excellent Olympics.
They did. And I remember, as you know, and I was only partially tongue in cheek. It's like, wow, Korean Olympics. What could go wrong? I didn't expect North Korea to misbehave or anything like that. That would have been bad for them. But I appreciate the testimony, and I've always wanted to do something like that, maybe some kind of a bucket list thing to do in Olympics. Thanks. But I'll tell you what's kind of kept me. I mean, yeah, the Olympics at Atlanta. If I couldn't make the Atlanta Olympics in 96, will I ever? You know what? I mean, I'm a big fan of when America can get some Olympics, but if I want to go to the Olympics, I think I want to go to another country. And maybe a far-flung other country, you know, not like Olympics in a Paris or a London or a, you know, place I've been already anyway. Mark, maybe you should have gone to these. All righty, 866-660-5759. I'm Mark Davis. It's 722. I grew up listening to the Beatles and 100 other acts that I could name in 60s rock and roll, which became 70s rock and roll and funk and disco and country. I'm fascinated by the notion of growing up. I mean, music and your youth, when you're 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, the music that is played on the radio and the music's part of the popular culture wraps around you. And I mean, my parents were never big devotees of the big band sound, your Glenn Miller, your Artie Shaw. That, of course, was the clarinet stylings of Woody Herman. We play that because Woody Herman was born 105 years ago today. Woody Herman, born this date, 1913. But that just had to be cool. Everybody sitting around, people would sit around and listen to the radio. Nowadays, listening to the radio is very mobile. You're driving, listening to the radio, walking around, listening to the radio, walking around with your iPhone in your pocket, you know, listening to the 660 AM The Answer app or whatever, listening to music, whether it's a radio or an MP3 player, is very mobile. You're on the go, on the go, on the go, on the go. People used to sit and listen to these shows, the various dramas, the soap operas, Bob Hope. The notion of that being the soundtrack of youth is an interesting and compelling thing. And around here, if we get some classic rock band drummer's birthday, we'll celebrate that. But doggone it, we'll also throw some love to Woody Herman, great clarinetist. And by the way, that was Woodchopper's Ball. Probably the most recognizable Woody Herman record. And so there you go. Now you got a Woody Herman record in your head. Okay, 866-660-5759. It's time to hustle Brother Gallagher in here. Grab a call or two or three as we work our way through the next half hour as well. Appreciate y'all enjoying this day. And Byron Nelson is underway tomorrow for four straight days of 90-some degree temperatures on the golfing circuit. That should be fun. And, Cavs are down 0-2. Celtics win again. LeBron pumps in 42. Not his fault. I'm sure he'll be the first to remind you. So we'll see how that's going on. Washington Capitals are up 2-1. Tampa Bay Lightning avoided going down 0-3 with a win over the Caps in postseason hockey. And the Rangers, the hard luck Rangers. They were down like 6-3. Then they tied it up. Then they took a lead. Then they lost the lead. Then they went into extra innings and lost in like the 11th to the Seattle Mariners. They'll tee it up again this afternoon. Teeing it up in the newsroom is sit tight, and we'll take this bottom of the hour break. I'm Mark Davis, 660 AM, The Answer DFW, Freedom 1160, San Antonio.
I got the horse right here, the name is Paul Revere, and here's a guy that says if the weather's clear, can do, this guy says the horse can do.
Well, that's a can-do attitude.
Says the horse can do. Can do. Can do.
Know what I'm wondering if Mike Gallagher can do?
Valentine
Here we go. He's walking in. He's a little late. I'm going to give him you know what. Hi, Mike.
Here you go.
I'm tired of this song already.
Can I get you something?
I'm trying.
Like a watch?
I'm sorry. We had a meeting that went long.
I apologize. What? Haven't you escaped those meetings by being here?
This was a bad one. This was a green screen meeting.
Because
heaven forbid we just can do a radio show anymore. I mean, we have, and thank you for that, by the way. We did that.
Guys and Dolls, by the way. Details to follow. Go ahead.
Fugue for Tin Horns. And we actually worked on that number last night. So that number is like burnished in my head.
It was magic.
Forever.
Yes. No, it's just the thing. When we all gather for opening night and see Guys and Dolls and the songs pouring off us for the first time, or maybe the first time since we watched it on Turner Classic Movies 10 years ago, you will keep in mind the entire cast will have heard this stuff 90 squillion times.
We ran through it probably 20 times last night, 25 times.
Everybody good?
It's a good cast. And they're doing all the gestures and the movements and all that. And we're just kind of getting to know everybody. So, remember the day when we used to get to be able to do a few hours on the radio and that's all you had to worry about?
Yep.
Now it's green screen cameras.
We're bloggers. We're TV stars. We write stuff.
And unlike your stuff where you go off to the TV studios often to do your hits.
Right.
And you do, you know, they expect every day now for the Mike Gallagher Show to be streamed, which, by the way,
it's coming. Loves.
Oh, it's coming for you.
Right.
You think you're on the barrel?
We were on.
Your time.
We were on a little TV station.
Your
the
time in the
47
barrel.
For about a year and a half. And it's lovely. There's your show on TV.
Right. I know. I used to watch it all the time.
It drove me insane.
Oh, because you
were. I was so aware. I play. Right now, it's you. It's me. We're playing to an audience through these microphones, and I love it. And I'm a big gesturing dork, and I don't care. It doesn't matter. But when you're on being on TV is a whole other thing. But go ahead.
Time is coming.
I know,
I'm going to tell you right now because they're doing
it. It's the future.
It,
it's all content, content.
All
content.
The shows are going to have to do this. And I'm kind of the guinea pig about how they're setting up the green screen.
Works great, and you're great.
Well,
so,
you think I like it? You think I don't want to do it?
But your success is good.
Well, we're having good response. They put a green screen up, and they put this bank of Grabian monitors behind us, an image of that, so that when there's breaking news, you see all the TV monitors showing the breaking news, which looks pretty good. It looks like we're in the middle of it, because that's our mission, you know, breaking news and what to think about it and reacting to it and all that. But, you know, try to put up a green screen with a bunch of radio people who know how to do radio.
Yeah.
The lighting. I think it's the lighting's a problem. Well, all right. What's the problem? Too much, too little? I don't know. It's a lighting issue. Well, what does lighting issue mean? So that was what I was just doing. And I'm like, guys, Mark Davis is waiting. I got to go downstairs.
That's true, man.
I have to go down five flights of steps. I'm out of breath. He's going to be annoyed. He's texting me saying, get down here.
Hello.
Where are you? You know, all right. So anyway, happy, what is this, Wednesday?
It is indeed Wednesday. And the reference to Guys and Dolls is June 8th is opening night, 6:60 a.m. The answer opening
night. We got
a
sellout opening night.
Be at the Majestic Theater in Dallas, lyricstage.org for tickets. Mike is Nicely Johnson in Guys and
Catherine
Dolls.
Catherine Carpenter Cox is Miss Adelaide. Andy Baldwin is Nathan Detroit. Chris Deaton is Sky Masterson.
And I will walk out and say howdy to the crowd from then sit down and watch you guys work.
My buddy Justin White, the Uber driver partner, is in the cast. He came up, listens to us every day. He's a huge fan, so props to Justin and the whole team. They got a great cast.
A discount code 6:60 a.m. and a meet and greet after, and you make sure you got to get your tickets for June 8th,
Friday
7:30.
I think it's a 7:30 performance Friday night, June 8th,
Friday,
at the refurbished Majestic Theater,
beautiful,
big orchestra,
beautiful old style theater, it's
America's greatest musical, Guys and Dolls, and come out and see Mark and me.
And after it's over, you could really see Mike and me
in the real unless I've embarrassed myself, then I go out the back door.
Mike's attendance is optional.
Yeah,
slinks away.
If I've had a bad performance, I'm out and I'm back to the hotel.
One way or the other. We're talking to you.
Okay.
So the code word is nicely
to get to the meet and greet
after.
Worst kept secret in the world.
That's what we say. But it's for listeners. If you're listening, you know. All right, you have big news stories.
By the way, before we get to the big news stories,
because I've got something so stupid and it might need to go first.
The reason we got to jump on tickets is because you select your own tickets where you want to sit.
Yep.
And tickets are going really fast, so you want to get a good spot. I mean, there's not really a bad seat in this beautiful Majestic Theater, but you know, and it's a big splashy show, so. But hop online, lyricstage.org. Don't forget the promo code 660 AM, and let's sell out Friday night, right, June the 8th.
You go first. Give me a minute and a fraction, because do you remember the internet craze? It was so stupid, and yet I got caught up in it. What color is the dress? Is it blue and gold, or is it black and yellow or something? You remember, it was a picture of a dress.
Oh, yeah, it was an optical
and
illusion.
And you show it to a million people.
And
it struck me as, well, it's lighting. I mean, I don't know. I mean, blah, blah, blah. Well, there's another one now.
Really?
It's audio. It's what word do you hear?
And do people hear different words?
Yes. I hear one obvious word.
You've got the audio?
I'm going to do it now.
Oh, good. Okay, I'm fascinated.
So tell, and everybody can play along in their cars.
All right.
Here.
Have you done this already this morning?
Oh, totally.
Okay.
No, not on the air. I'm waiting on you.
All right.
And waiting.
Hush.
Sorry. Okay. Okay. You're about to hear a word. I think they're going to repeat it a couple of times. And
Nicely.
Exactly. Okay. Here we go. So what word, please let this work, what word do you now hear?
Laurel.
Shh.
Laurel.
Shh. One more time.
Laurel.
What did you just say?
Easy. Laurel.
Laurel, as in Laurel and Hardy.
Right. Laurel.
Play this to 100 people.
Right.
And it will apparently go about 50-50.
For what?
Yanni.
No. Well, listen, the people who hear Yanni need to be in a straitjacket.
That would be my testimony.
Yanni?
Laurel or Yanni. Just
play that one more time.
Everybody Google Laurel, L-A-U-R-E-L. Yanni, Y-A-N-N-I, the Greek New Age musician thing.
Are you drinking? What's wrong with you?
No, this is for real.
Nobody's hearing Yanni off of that.
Oh, yes, they are.
That's Laurel.
Judge Napolitano heard Yanni. Well, that speaks volumes. He hears a lot of voices.
I love
Judge Knapp. Okay, here we go. Here once again. And I guarantee there are people driving around going, dude, it's Yanni.
No, they're not.
Okay, now don't make me take calls.
I guarantee you nobody can hear that and say Yanni.
Are they people
with problems?
All y'all hear Laurel? Shane hears Laurel.
Shane hears Laurel.
Right. Yeah, Gordon's busy.
Gordon, okay. Everybody.
So look, one more time.
Well, everybody hears Laurel.
Laurel.
One more time.
Laurel.
And three.
Laurel.
The only people who say they hear Yanni are people.
Gordon, Laurel? Laurel, Universal Laurel.
Mark, those
is this a is this a?
It's a scam. It's trolling. People are trolling you.
Dude, I don't think so. There are real articles. A linguist explains why Laurel sounds like Yanni.
I'll send a cheesecake from the world famous Carnegie Deli in New York City to the first caller who calls you and tells you they hear Yanni.
You're offering free food.
But you got to
tell you that.
But they got to convince me. They got to convince
us. Hang on. Here we go. Here, what's your name? Okay. Hang on. What's your name? I don't care. Let's roll screenless. You ready? Hang on a second. Hi, ma'am. How are you?
Hello.
Hey, Mark. It's Vicky in Fort Worth.
Vicky, how are you?
It's good. You want to hear something funny?
Ready.
This morning while I was getting ready, and Fox News played it, I clearly heard Yanni, and I couldn't figure out how people were hearing Laurel. But when you played it, I heard Laurel. So I think it has to do with the audio system.
That's because your meds kicked in.
you're paying attention to us.
And finally, the medicine worked.
I think you may be on to something. Thank you.
Thanks, Vicky.
Okay, here's
people
the
are trolling.
Thing now.
This is a big troll.
I told you, see, an asteroid could hit the Earth, and we're doing this.
And, well, you know,
a linguist
North Korea's on fire. They're not going
to, Late Monday night, this tweet was posted by blah, 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 blah. You may be, I'm going to leave this to, when you speak, you're producing sound waves shaped by the length and shape of your vocal tract. Higher frequencies appear my brain is leaking out
Laurel,
my ears.
Yanni. There's no way.
Yanni.
No.
But the young lady right there heard you. And so, but coming off the
TV
box,
messing.
That's one thing.
She thought she'd get a cheesecake.
No.
She's making it up.
You're reneging on the cheesecake.
Yeah, there's no Yanni Laurel. Right, there's no way. I could get it if it sounded alike.
Because the first thing I thought was going to be something like, it's like, what? It's like Day of the Dolphin.
What is it? Who was it that you play the Beatles music backwards?
Various Beatles.
You hear.
Buried Paul.
Yeah.
That's in the real Strawberry Fields.
Or in The Exorcist. There's a lot that when the demon is spewing stuff,
right.
They took the tape recorder and they played it in reverse.
Oh, sure.
And it was, I am no one.
Priest. The second day of Exorcist talk. We're obsessed.
I know. All right. Well, now that you've trolled me for
five
minutes.
We're out of time.
Nice to see you.
All right, North Korea summit. Is Kim Jong-un playing Trump with Trump.
It's a bluff.
Is this a
bluff.
Part of the deal, Pyongyang style?
It's a bluff. I mean, North Korea is bluffing. They should be ignored. But this is the, we've said this all along, trust but verify. Yep. Don't get too excited about Kim Jong-un. This is the difficulty. Now, what I think is going to be the great test is to see how Americans and how the punditry fall down on this.
Have you already seen the spectacle this morning?
Oh, of
course.
Have
you seen the spectacle this morning of Trump haters gleeful that the summit might be in jeopardy?
Right. I mean,
they hate Trump more than they love the country.
They hate the...
Morning Stinking Joe on MSNBC had the Lucy and Charlie Brown football thing. Oh, look at that! Charlie Brown got trolled.
Yeah, they won't be if the missile drops.
Sick.
They are
you
sick.
You people are
they
sick.
They won't be laughing if a missile starts heading our way, you know, and this is Trump derangement syndrome, which also brings you to the CNN political analyst, Chris Chalizza, who tweeted out an image of President Donald Trump in crosshairs.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is really interesting. This is what Sarah Palin supposedly did.
But she did parts of the country, didn't
Correct.
She? Like, these are the
targeting
districts that we're targeting, which I totally get. So I want to give somebody some latitude. But this is President Trump. And what wasn't it on the issue of guns even?
It was at the National Peace Officers Memorial Service,
okay.
And he was pointing to the heavens, and they took a picture, and now Chalizza says he removed the tweet because it was just a stock image. It was just
I caught.
And the internet blew up over it. So we're gonna tackle that. How about a great going on with Gaza and the violence there, and that of course still continues to rear its ugly head. I saw a great piece yesterday written by a criminal defense attorney named Marina Medven, who wrote a piece at Town Hall about the propaganda that comes out of the Middle East when they talk about Palestinian protests. They aren't protesters. They're people
they're
rioters and terrorists. Yeah. They are inspired by Hamas, and she wrote this terrific piece. She's going to be on the show this morning at 11:30. So
her name again?
Marina Medven.
Marina Medven, no relation to Michael.
Medven. M-E-D-V-I-N. So, no, Medven, and I would be arguing about Trump again, so we don't want to go down that.
This will be a guest you agree with.
Incidentally, primary results last night, Pennsylvania showing
Lou Barletta.
There you go.
Lou runs for everything all the time.
I know,
and he's the former Hazleton, Pennsylvania mayor who's all in to really get serious about illegal immigration. Can he beat Bob Casey Jr.?
I don't think so.
I don't know.
And you know what? Honestly, Rick Scott. I love Florida Governor Rick Scott, but I've got the Mark Davis rule that no matter how cool and awesome you are, you ain't going to win beating an incumbent unless there is a broad desire to fire the incumbent.
Right, exactly.
I don't see that in Florida with Bill Nelson. Maybe. I don't know. I can dream.
It's close. Right. The polling is very close between Scott and who knows. And finally, pop culture related, Roseanne. There's been two TV show news. Roseanne, which has gotten great, great response. ABC now wants to pull back the political content. I can't believe it.
I don't know
it.
If they're going to. And first of all, there isn't that much political content.
They don't. She doesn't do that
it's
much
like
politics.
Trump supporting Roseanne. You know, her daughter doesn't like him. But
Roseanne Barr is into some weird stuff. I mean, I don't know if you follow her. She's got a very popular Twitter feed.
Yeah.
She's into QAnon. Have you followed anything about QAnon?
What the heck is that?
All right. This is going to be right up Mark Davis's alley.
30 seconds.
Look up QAnon.
How do you spell it?
The letter Q, Anon. And this
like Al-Anon?
Yep. Only QAnon. Supposed to be a deep, deep, deep state government official who is leaking stuff. It's a conspiracy theorist site that a lot of people are starting to notice. And so look that up.
I did not see last night's Roseanne.
No, I didn't either.
Did you see last week's with Roseanne and
with
the Muslim neighbors?
I did. It was great.
Let's talk about that tomorrow because some very, very important episode we'll talk about.
And Last Man Standing is coming back, which is great news.
Which,
Tim Allen.
You know what I thought? Have you seen it?
Yeah, sort of. A little bit of it. Not all of it. I haven't gotten into it like I want to, but I will.
At first I thought, Tim Allen, conservative comedy, how cute, pat on the head. It's wonderful.
It's really good.
It has merit. It's really, really good, and I'm glad that it's back.
Lyricstage.org. Get your tickets. Use the promo code 660AM. I got the horse right here. The name is Paul Revere. And here's a guy that says if the weather's clear,
can do.
You could do it. You could be the understudy. You want to work Friday night, Junaid?
Nope, busy.
I'm back to New York. you're going to be sitting in the fourth row. You're in the house seats with your lovely family.
I will be ready.
Better cheering me on.
And we are ready for the Mike Gallagher Show next on 660 AM. The Answer and right around the bend momentarily on Freedom 1160, sister station AM 930 in San Antonio. I'm Mark Davis, 751.
Laurel.
Okay, this is jacked up.
on the headphones, it sounds like Laurel. Coming through the speakers, it sounds like Yanny. Then Rhonda brought one in. Mike heard Laurel. I heard Yanny. The missiles could be in the air, and we wouldn't be talking about anything but this. Crazy. Mark Davis, 660 AM, The Answer, and Freedom 1160 San Antonio. Good day, everybody.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.